All right, good morning. This morning we're going to be back in Colossians, and Greg's going to be teaching us through chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Good morning, everybody. This morning, I'm going to share a little bit of my story, Wendy and our story, before we came to the church here. We began coming here about 2 years ago, and we had felt called to leave the previous church we were at to come back to the North Bend and be a part of a church here. We began to look visiting churches, and we did not feel called to any of those churches. As time passed, we struggled to find a biblical church. We also struggled with the command in Hebrews 10 to not forsake the assembling of together, to be a part of a body. During this process, COVID hit, caused us to be out of fellowship even longer. During this time, we suffered under one of the most devastating spiritual attacks that we have experienced. It came from more than one front. It seemed like every place we turned, we were being tried, tested, persecuted. It was ongoing and relentless for the whole time that we were out of church. We endured by holding tightly to the Lord and to each other. Being immersed in this intense battle for so long took its toll on us. Our hearts began to harden. We continued to stand on God's promises, not defending ourselves, but patiently enduring as the assault persisted. But we could not stop the hardening. We finally felt led to remove ourselves from the circumstances. We could not resolve if we were going to have peace in our lives again. It was not until we separated from these toxic relationships that we felt the weight of the battle begin to lift and peace started to return. But the hardness lingered. We had little compassion for anyone. The battle and being out of fellowship had taken its toll on us. We visited another church one Sunday morning. We came in, sat down. It was announced there would be no preaching, but a service of giving testimonies by the congregation. I'll be the first to admit that I was skeptical, had my feet pointed at the door already. It was through those testimonies and the love of God poured out through his people that we felt God had finally brought us home. That was the day we arrived here. Our hearts began to heal. A few weeks ago, when I preached, it was only for the second time, I received many text messages and some of you coming up to me before service and saying that you were praying for me. It was not just the words that you said, but it was God's love manifest in you that touch my heart. As I studied for today's message, the Lord made one thing abundantly clear to me. The Apostle Paul describes the church at Colossae as having faith in Jesus Christ and love for the saints. Wendy and I both felt that he was describing this church. We praise the Lord that he has led us to this amazing body of believers who model his love every single day. His love, which is able to heal a hard heart. Amen. Wow, I got through it. All right. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into God's word. Heavenly Father, this morning as we are gathered here, Lord, we just come before you, Lord, with a humble heart. We come with open hearts, open arms, wanting to worship the one true God, God who loves us, God who works through his people, who cares for us, God who forgave us all our offenses. We pray this morning, Lord, that you would give us a passion for you. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God, the psalmist says. Give us a desire for you, Lord, for your word, and give us understanding so that we can live it out before the world. We thank you for this time together, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you would turn in your Bibles, Colossians 1, 9 through 14, and join me as we read God's word. Beginning in verse 9, and so for the day we heard, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we learned last week that the Apostle Paul had written this letter to the church at Colossae. He had never visited the church, but had heard of their faith in Jesus and love in the Spirit from Epaphras, who was their faithful minister. There was a new false teaching threatening the church. The Apostle Paul was in prison and unable to make the journey to Colossae. This threat was so serious that Epaphras felt compelled to make the long journey from Colossae to Rome and personally speak with Paul. In this letter, Paul teaches several important foundational truths regarding our faith and the nature of the church. This teaching was to refute the new heresy that had emerged and those who were teaching it. Even though Paul could not be there in person, his defense of this church begins with the power of prayer. Remember that Epaphras had brought news to this church to Paul. It was sound in its faith and knew God's truth. Prayer is not just for the sick, for those under trials or persecution. Prayer is also powerful for encouraging us in the truth of God's word and in our faith. It is this kind of prayer that helps us to put on the full armor of God, standing strong when the battle comes our way. Paul's prayer exhorts this church to be filled with the knowledge of God and to apply this knowledge to their lives. The result, they will be fruitful in their faith, their knowledge of God will increase. This knowledge will bring God's strength and endurance into their lives. Paul ends his prayer by giving thanks to the Father who saves our soul. We see the heart of the Apostle Paul here as he sits in prison, praying not for himself, but for the church that is in his care. As soon as he hears of it, Paul encourages this church that they were being prayed for. Paul begins in verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul's prayer was not that they would be delivered from this assault, but that they would know the truth of God's will for them. His prayer continues that they would also have all wisdom and spiritual understanding of this knowledge of God's will. The best defense against false teaching is to know the truth of God's will given to us in God's word. Bible teacher Adrian Rogers describes God's will this way. There is God's sovereign will, God's standard will, and his special will. There are some things that God simply does not reveal to us. This is his sovereign will. Things we do not understand because we cannot comprehend all that God is and does. In Romans 11:34, the Apostle Paul quotes from Isaiah 40. He says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has been his counselor?" Again in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." There are some things we will never know, but we are called to be obedient to the things God does reveal to us. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law." We can wrestle with the things of God we do not know or understand, but the things that he has made known to us, we should know intimately and obey. There are certain things that are always right and certain things that are always wrong. This is God's standard will. Take, for example, the teaching of the Ten Commandments or the Sermon on the Mount. These examples of rights and wrongs are given to us throughout the Word of God. It is never right to do wrong, and it is always wrong to not do right. These rights and wrongs apply to all of us and make up his standard will. God also deals with us as individuals. This is his special will. We are each special and have a God-given, God-called, and God-empowered place in his kingdom. This special will is his calling for each one of us individually as an important member of the larger body of believers. Whatever God calls us to do, he will also empower us to do. Listen, if you will, to God's call to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 7. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." I remember when Jesus saved me, he made his will very clear. Wendy and I were to raise up children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The significance of the call is that before I was saved, we were not going to have children. We were not planning to. His ways are not our ways. Do you believe that God has a special plan for your life? Have you ever sought after him, asking him, "What is it that you want from me? What is your will for me, Lord?" God's will is revealed to us in his word. Hear the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 119, 169 through 170. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea come before you. Deliver me according to your word. Our prayer for each day should include wisdom and understanding of the word of God. James tells us in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. And again in Ephesians 5:15 through 17, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul's prayer continues that their spiritual understanding would produce fruit. In verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As we are filled with the knowledge and understanding of his will, we bear the fruit of his will. As to walk worthy of the Lord is to live a life of obedience to God that is fully pleasing to him. A life that is consistent with what we know and understand of the will of God from the word of God. If we are going to claim the name of Jesus and talk the talk of Jesus, let us also walk the walk of Jesus. The Apostle John tells us Jesus is our example. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. When we walk as Jesus walked, we will be fruitful in every good work, for this is what we were created for. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we should walk in them. We are fruit bearers, not fruit producers. As we live our life in obedience to God's will, we abide in Jesus. And it is Jesus who produces the fruit that we bear. Jesus says that I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. We must grow in the knowledge of God. We cannot grow spiritually apart from first growing in his knowledge. As we learn more about God through his word, our love for his word will also grow. The psalmist again in Psalm 119, 97 and 98 says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Paul's prayer now turns to the power behind our lives. In verse 11, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. Do you believe that the God who spoke the universe into existence is powerful enough to help us walk by faith? As we humble ourselves in submission to Jesus, desiring to pursue him, it is the power of God that works in us for his good pleasure and grants us strength in our faith. Philippians 2:12 through 13 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And again in Ephesians 3:16 and 17, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. His strength allows us to rejoice and endure when our patience is being tried, and we are enduring difficult people or circumstances. Could we follow the example of Peter and Silas? In Acts 16, 22 through 25, the crowd joined in attacking Peter and Silas. The magistrates tore the garments off them, gave orders to beat them with rods. When they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What a witness to those who were listening. Peter and Silas were attacked, stripped of their clothing, beaten with rods, and thrown into prison. And if that wasn't enough abuse to teach them a lesson, they put their feet in stocks. Stocks were a device like a large pair of wooden handcuffs. However, they were designed to stretch the legs out as far apart as possible to produce pain and cramping. Instead of being focused on the trial or difficult circumstance, these men were focused on God singing his praises. Where is our focus when the battle comes to the door? Is it on the battle, or is it on the one who gives victory in the battle? If we set our minds on God, knowing this trial is for growing us up in our faith, we may more readily rejoice in it, that we may learn how to grow. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and yet steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When we suffer persecution, do we count ourselves worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus? Will we persevere in what God has called us to do? This was the example of the apostles in Acts 5, 40 through 42. "And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." Just as Paul began his letter with thankfulness to God, he ends his prayer with thanksgiving to God. Paul is ever thankful to God for his work of salvation in the lives of his people. Paul continues his prayer in verses 12 through 14, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Thanksgiving to God in all things should always be a part of our life in Christ. Psalmist says in 54:14, "offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High." And in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, "rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." There is nothing we can do to save ourselves from our sinful condition. It is the work of God alone. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise, which guarantees our inheritance in his kingdom. It is God who has made us sufficient in Christ to share in the inheritance of the saints. the inheritance of the saints in the light. That light is Jesus. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 tells us, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Paul wraps up his prayer with the truth of what God has already done for us. For those who have believed in his son Jesus, God has delivered us from the darkness of this world into the kingdom of his only son. We have been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for our redemption when he died on the cross, shedding his blood for our sin. I would like to wrap up this morning with a word from the psalmist about the love of our gracious Heavenly Father, the God of our salvation. In Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13, the psalmist tells us, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Are you here this morning because the world has left you empty? And what it offers does not fill you up anymore? God can fill up that emptiness. If you ask him, he will reveal himself to you in the person of his son, Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The world rejected Jesus, but he calls out to the world, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come to Jesus this morning and find rest for your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning as we gather, we just pray as Paul prayed, that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will. Lord, give us spiritual wisdom, give us understanding of your word, that we might walk worthy of you. That as you work in us, Lord, we might bear the fruit of every good work. Strengthen us, that we might endure each day with all patience and joy. As we go out this morning, help us to walk as you walked, to shine as a light in the darkness of this world that desperately needs you. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, we're going to share in communion now. If you guys want to start passing out the elements, that would be great. What's it? Oh. Yeah, at the end, yeah, okay. So we're going to pass out the elements. Please hold them until the end, and we'll take the elements together. In Jesus, and calls him Lord, we observe the Lord's Supper, also known as communion. This is a celebration of remembrance, a time to remember Jesus' sacrifice for our sins, a time for us as individuals to be united as one body in him through communion. Hebrews 10:19 through 23 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The Apostle Paul tells us we are to examine ourselves so that we do not eat and drink judgment upon ourselves. We must each consider the condition of our heart before taking communion. If our heart is not right with God, have confidence that we can bring the condition of our heart to him this morning. Confessing our sin, leaving them at the foot of the cross, where by the grace of God we are forgiven. In this we honor his sacrifice. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If our heart is not right with God, or we have not yet surrendered our heart to him, let us not bring judgment on ourselves by participating in communion in an unworthy manner. By not participating, we also remember and honor Jesus' sacrifice.